We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
Councilman Zurier, the defining issue of Mayor Alores' time in office so far has been the dispute with the firefighters. Do you think the mayor has been pursuing a sound strategy in this conflict?
Well, I think that along the way, he's taken some steps that he later decided he wished he hadn't. And the
Such as what?
Well, they made a legal argument that the contract was invalid, and then the firefighters responded, well, if that's invalid, that means pension reform is out the window. And at that point, the lawyer said, let's change that argument. Yes, the contract is valid. So there have been some steps along the way that I think he's wishing happened differently. My focus right now is how can we best manage the impacts of what's happened and also move the case towards resolution.
And before we go to Scott, I wonder what your broader assessment is so far of Mayor Alores. How would you characterize his strengths and weaknesses in his performance?
This is someone who's immensely talented and intelligent. He had a very comfortable gig as a law professor and a municipal court judge. And his decision to give that up for one of the most difficult jobs out there is to be commended. It has been a very difficult job. He's had some notable accomplishments. He's also made some mistakes. And if he can learn from those mistakes, then Mayor Tavares once said of him, the sky's the limit.
What do you see as the key areas that need improvement?
Well, certainly the management of the budget was an issue. He inherited a budget in the middle of the 14-15 fiscal year. At the end of January, two quarters in, he said it's in balance. In April, he said it's in balance. In July, he said it was in balance. And then in September, he said there's a $5 million deficit. And that created a problem that we no longer had time to correct.
Let's go to Scott.
Do you think Providence is going to have a property tax increase in the budget? You've got a deficit. You know that this is coming down the road. What do you do?
Well, I think that there is an opportunity to make a case for more revenue. And if the mayor can make that case, I think that the voters will consider it. With that said, there are a lot of moving parts this year because it's a revaluation. Property values have probably gone up. So you might be able to get more revenues without increasing the rate, even though everybody's bill has gone up. Also, there's an allocation between commercial property, rental property, and homeowners. So it's a little too soon to tell how they're going to make all the pieces fit together and what the impact is going to be on which class of taxpayers.
One of your city council colleagues, Kevin Jackson from Ward 3, has been under review by the Attorney General's office for more than 2 years due to an apparent discrepancy in his campaign finance filings. Do you think the council should be taking any action on that?
Well, I might say, I think that those events are not good for Councilman Jackson. They're not good for the leadership. They're not good for the city council. And they're not good for the city. So there are definitely concerns there. I don't know if it's something that can be solved internally within the city council. But it is a problem, I think, for everybody as long as those questions are out there.
And there's a proposal to name an athletic facility after Kevin Jackson, who has done a lot for youth sports. Do you support or oppose that measure?
A number of us spoke against it on the principle that it's not a wise idea to name, use our plenary power to name things after ourselves while we're in office. That's just not the right way to go. And also, there are a number of other problems the city is facing. We've just discussed them, which might deserve a higher priority for our attention.
How do we find a balance, Councilman, between attracting new development to Providence and making sure that any tax breaks that are given are not over too long a period?
Yes. This is an interesting question. My own thinking has shifted. When I first came in, there was actually a developer who said, unless you give me a tax break, I will not build student housing on Thayer Street. We said no, and he built. And I thought that was a sign that if we hold the line against these folks, we can get more development. That ended up being an anomalous case. And right now, we won't get development in Providence. Councilman Salvatore proposed a template. It comes down to how many years of tax
relief. I look at
relief.
Something like the mall, okay? And it seems like we needed to do that to get them all here, but giving them 23 years, that's a long time.
Yeah, we're dying from that. The tax assessor, I spoke with him about the mall the other day. He says every time he walks by it, he cries. Right now, that's $700 million value. That would be $25 million a year. Mm-hmm. It could wipe out most of the problems we have. That doesn't enter the tax rolls until 2028. In the meantime, it produced 1,600 new jobs. That is generating income tax for the state. There's also sales tax. I believe that the state gets $6 or $7 million of sales tax from that. So yes, that one, I wish that the incentives had been balanced differently.
We're talking here with Ward 2 Providence City Councilor Sam Zurier. And Sam, we've heard for many years about the importance for Rhode Island's economy to improve public education. What will it take to make greater gains in improving public education in cities like Providence?
Well, I think that, first of all, I was just reading a book actually about Union City. It's not going to be waving a magic wand and then suddenly there are transformations. I think instead it's continuous improvement, steady progress. I also believe that there's an issue for resources. It's very difficult for these are politically unpopular decisions, and the way it works in other states such as Massachusetts is that courts find there's a constitutional right to education, and then there are hearings before the court about what's right for the kids rather than what's necessarily best for the adults.
I'm wondering, Sam, has the city gone far enough in trying to get revenue out of some of these grand, but again, nonprofit and untaxable institutions, the colleges, the hospitals?
Our problem is the United States Constitution, the Dartmouth College case,
yes.
And there's no way around that. But I would also say this. I studied this issue in connection with Brown University in 2011 and 12, and as a result of its latest treaty with the state, with the city, Brown is actually, as far as I can tell, the second best in the country, only second to my alma mater, Yale, with New Haven. So, yes, they could be doing a lot more, but if you put them among their peers, they're actually doing pretty well.
The Prakashani Group's plans to build a hotel on the site of the Fogarty Building on Fountain Street are now moving ahead, but it was kind of a torturous process to get there. Governor Raimondo felt the need to advocate for the project and to call Council President Aponte. Why is it so difficult to move forward with that kind of economic development in Providence?
I think the problem is that some of us look at these tax agreements as if we're giving them some kind of great gift and that we shouldn't give them a gift unless they're worthy. What we've discovered is there's very little development in downtown Providence unless there's some kind of tax treaty or stabilization agreement. So right now, I think that we're overvaluing developers' desire to build in the city.
I'm wondering, you look at Warwick, is it just the airport and that kind of focus they have out there, because developers are flooding into Warwick and they're not asking for any type of tax or relief.
Warwick's commercial tax rate is significantly lower than Providence's. That's the problem we have. In the best of all possible worlds, we would drop our commercial tax rate, but that represents something like $140 million of revenue.
All right, we're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
And Providence's Ward 2 City Councilor, Sam Zurier.
Thanks very much.